and Malloy getting us home free thanks to Coca-Cola on Adelaide's SAFM.
Now, live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, author on the shonk, Helen Demidenko, talks to us about her new job as Carmen Lawrence's speechwriter. We've got a bumper edition of Freak Watch, our weekly roundup of Michael Jackson stories. Mick reveals the location of the Holy Grail, and Dieter Brummer, less than 24 hours after we dub him Australia's Mickey Rourke, he's gone and proved us right. We've got the latest coming up along with Radio Gladiators, and joining us live, an author who's told even more tall stories than the Miles Franklin winner, tangles his own self, Big Maxie Walker. Yes, it's all on the way on the program that Dr. Jack Kevorkian just can't wait to get his hands on, Martin Malloy. And welcome, people, to the midweek edition of Martin Malloy with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who, well, just between you and I, has been spending far too much time with Dieter Brummer, Mick Malloy.
Someone had to take the rap. Wasn't going to be me.
No, well, we'll get to that later in the program. I think you probably know
Will.
Oh, yes. But let's kick things off with, just for a change of pace, I thought we'd start today with our weekly roundup of Michael Jackson news, Freak Watch. And today, well, there's just so many Jacko stories. I don't know where to start. And I'll tell you what, I might just choose one at random.
Okay.
See what happens. So what have we got here? Oh, here's a beauty. This is a beauty. Listen to this. A bizarre argument over Michael Jackson's wig could be the final nail in the coffin of his marriage to Lisa Marie Presley. So the scene is set.
Yep.
Listen to the details. Lisa Marie's two-year-old son, Ben. Now, he's only two, but I bet he's already sick of hearing this.
In the two of us need no more.
Oh, yeah, I think he's sick of that by now. But it seems Ben was play wrestling with Jackson, and I'm sorry, but don't parents advise against that now? Isn't it, don't accept lollies from strangers, don't cross the road without looking, and no play wrestling with Michael Jackson?
I think that's in there somewhere.
I think they're the three golden rules. Anyway, things have got a bit boisterous, and Ben's apparently pulled off the superstar's much-prized new wig. Michael picked him up and savagely shook him. Oh, imagine that.
Frightening.
and apparently Lisa Marie is now filled with fear for her children. After an argument, she and Ben fled Neverland to seek refuge with her mum Priscilla, while Jackson flew to Paris with two young boys, 14 and 11, the star's constant travelling companions for the past few years. What happened to the monkeys? What happened? I reckon he should have stuck with the monkeys, because it's, you know, pretty rare that a monkey slaps you with an out-of-court settlement for 20 million smackaroos. But did you see the footage? I have to ask you, did you see the footage on the at the airport with Michael Jackson and the lads just charging through, and Michael was wearing what was kind of a surgical mask.
That'd be it. Yeah.
Surgical mask, and he was obviously trying to remain anonymous, but he couldn't have stood out more. I mean, I'm thinking, what was he up to? And all I can come up with is, because he spends so much time in the company of surgeons, he's got used to that look. And sure, maybe it'll make me blend in with the crowd. I don't know. But meanwhile, Priscilla has told her daughter, listen to this, dump that weirdo. He's too strange. Mind you, this from a woman who was married to Elvis Presley. That well-adjusted young man whose response to a dud night on the telly was a volley of gunfire. Anyway, the one bit of good news for Michael in this story is that since the words got out about his wig, he's been offered a spot in the new Advanced Hair Studios commercial, which features the following exchange with Graham Yallop.
Hey, you're right.
There you go.
I can't wait.
Mick, in the last week or so, there's been a lot of talk in the papers, on the TV news, about the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
Have you read about this?
Mm-hmm.
It's really the world's most sought-after religious article, and there's been a lot of people claiming they've got it, the societies in Scotland saying, no, we've got the real Grail. Mm. Isn't it great, though, to think that somebody has actually got it, that it does exist?
I've got it here.
Well, you've got... Yeah? Give us a look.
Hang on a second. I just got to finish.
Oh, my God. Not a Slurpee.
All right. Here it is, but be careful, all right?
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
I'm going to let go now.
Yeah, I got
You're
it.
You're not going to let go, okay? No,
I've got the whole
you got it?
Grill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good one. You've done it now, haven't you?
Mick, we've broken the Holy Grail.
Don't rope me into it.
Well, I'm not taking the rap.
You broke it? Oh, jeez, you're okay. You're all paws, TM. What were you thinking?
Well, you shouldn't have told me, you know, you were letting go. Well, what do we do? What are we supposed to do?
I've got it. We blame Gracie.
Yeah.
Gracie, if anyone asked, you broke the Holy Grail.
Yeah, but...
Gracie, hello. I don't think you're listening. Tony's broken the Holy Grail, all right? We're not taking the rap. Do it or it's your job.
Come on, look.
Gracie, I don't think you understand me. The Holy Grail is very, very valuable. It's a bit of an antique. It's not your average piece of copper art if you get my drift. Now, I happen to know it was going to be a big part of a station promotion. Yeah, win the Holy Grail and a Pulp Fiction jacket signed by John Travolta.
Gee, good first prize.
No, second prize, Tone. First prize is a 3-pack of CDs.
Oh, of course. Jeez, but imagine if we'd broken that.
Not we. Gracie. Yeah, well, the only alternative would be to replace it.
Yeah, well, let's see what we've got. What about this?
Is that Tone, that's a coffee mug with Life's a Bitch written on it.
Bit racy for a holy relic, don't you think?
What about this?
That's an ashtray, Gracie. It's got cigarettes in it. Unless the Lord was fagging on when he was topped, I'd say someone's gonna twig. Look, guys, if the station manager finds out, we're all in a lot of trouble. Oh no. Well, here he comes. Pretend you're working.
So anyway, Tone, Pamela Anderson's breasts apparently freeze solid when she's filming in cold water.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. Hello, Tony. Mick just popped in to say keep up the good work.
Hey, what's this
on the floor? That's not the 3-pack of CDs, I hope.
No, that's the Holy Grail.
Gracie did it!
Yeah, Gracie.
There's your man. I wasn't even here. And I believe Tony had something to do with it too. I'm prepared to make a statement if that would help you. I mean, I'm sorry, sir. I try so hard, but you're working with a couple of...
It's an absolute classic. It's an absolute classic.
What? What's so funny?
Mick, see the cameras over there?
Yeah.
You're on Just Kidding.
Oh no. Oh, you've got me a beauty.
Mick, meet Stephen Jacobs. Stephen, Mick. Mick, look, he's fallen on the broken glass.
Did you get that on film? Have a look at that. Oh, that's great. So where's the real Holy Grail?
We switched it earlier.
Have
you got it, Mick?
Yeah.
Are you sure you've got it?
Yeah,
I've got
it.
Can I
let go now? Yeah,
let go. You got it?
Yeah. Gracie! Listen to this.
And now it's time for another hilarious session with those lovable literary frauds, the Demidenkos.
Ellen, what are you dressing me up in lederhosen for?
Dad, you know the people from Book Chat are coming round today. Remember, you're an illiterate taxi driver from the Ukraine.
But I'm Harry Darville from Scunthorpe.
You're Harry Demidenko. Now go and prepare the borscht.
The what?
Hello, I'm Ewan Carlyle from the ABC.
I'm Helen Demidenko. Welcome to our humble Ukrainian lean-to.
Thank you. It looks rather like an ordinary suburban house.
Well, what with the royalties coming in, we've...
All right then, who's for bangers in borscht? What guests have we, Fraulein Ellen?
This man's from Book Chat. They're doing a story about us.
Yes, I read about that. Or at least I would have done if I weren't an illiterate taxi driver from the Ukraine.
Now, where exactly is the Ukraine?
Well, it's where it's always been.
Could you show our viewers on this map?
Yes, it's up here somewhere.
What, in Japan?
Well, obviously the Jews have moved it.
God blimey, Donald und Blitzen.
Dad, shouldn't you be preparing the cabbages?
Cabbages? I thought we were going to Pizza Hut.
Oh, he's so Eastern Europe. I can hardly understand a word he's saying.
Miss Demidenko.
Who? Oh, of course, sorry.
If I may quote from a letter you wrote to The Australian. Dear sir, I wish to register a complaint about this parrot which I purchased not half an hour ago from this very boutique.
Yes, what about it?
Oh, isn't that from Monty Python's parrot sketch?
Well, obviously it loses something in translation from Ukrainian.
Yes, now tell us about your new book, The Hand That Shoots the Phaser.
Well, it's a first-hand account of Klingon atrocities in the Andromeda Galaxy.
First-hand?
Obviously, I haven't experienced them myself, but my uncle has.
Your uncle?
Uncle Zolda!
Yes, oh earthly ones, how can I be of assistance?
You see, it's my theory that Klingons have been much maligned by the history books.
Quickly, Romulans on the starboard bow. We need warp speed, Corblimey.
Join us next week when Helen's autobiography wins the Booker Prize for Fiction.
SAF.
Pam.
And just reminding you now that Max Walker's coming in the next hour. And Mick, I understand Max has been hard at work. He's, you know, he's had the blinkers on. Nobody's been able to talk to him for quite a while because he's been out the back working on a board game.
No, exactly. He's been squirreled away, working like a demon.
I'm hoping that it's going to be kind of like Cluedo with, you know, I reckon it was Richie Beno in the drawing room with the lead pipe, that kind of thing.
I reckon it was Tony Gregg on the oval with the keys.
That's now we're thinking. Maxi, I hope you're writing these ideas down on your way in. Also, Radio Gladiators on the way. And as listeners to the show yesterday would know, Mick and myself have been very concerned for young Silver Logie winner Dieter Brummer for some time. And less than 24 hours after we revealed exclusively on this show the extent of his off-screen feud with Melissa George and dubbed him Australia's own Mickey Rourke, there's Dieter splashed across today's paper pleading guilty to possessing 5 bags of cannabis, or, if I may use its official scientific name, Wacky Tabacky. And it seems Dieter's parents are shocked, and Mrs. Brummer is blaming his mates, saying she does not think very highly of the company her son keeps, other actors and TV personalities.
Oh, well, she'll be mightily relieved to learn he could be going to the big house. It's a step up in class, isn't it? Did you follow the case today? I saw an article on the court proceedings. I thought, what would you give to be that magistrate, Tone? That'd be great, wouldn't it? You'd be looking at Dieter going, now let me see, Summer Bay or Long Bay? Dieter in jail. He's a good-looking young boy, isn't he, Tone? And I'm thinking, popularity is pretty good if you say at an awards night. In H Division, though, it could be a bit of a bugger. Not that there'd be much of a change in lifestyle for Dieter. It'd be much the same as life in Summer Bay, except, well, instead of sharing a bed with, say, Angel, he'll be bunking down with your Mark Chopper Reed. Well, I don't think you have to wait for Chopper to fill in his TV week coupon to find out just how popular you are with him. Have a look at this, Tone. I've got an old TV Week cover here. Have a look at this. Now, for many years now, we've been familiar with the process of stars who feature on TV Week. They often white out the teeth.
Yeah, that's
right. Spend some hours doing that. But have a look here. They must have spent a good 4 or 5 hours on those eyeballs. They've been knee-deep in it. What's going on over at Channel 7 and their staff? First Mike Whitney gets done for dope, now Dieter Brummer. I reckon that's how they're paying their stuff. Look, we don't have any cash. How about some pot? That'd be interesting negotiations, wouldn't it? Dieter, congratulations. Here's 1/2 ounce of Thai Buddha. I want an ounce. Listen, pal, it was only a silver Logie. I was watching Funniest People the other night, another Channel 7 show, and gee, I reckon the hosts of that show are overpaid. That Andrew Datto, he looked off his nut. That other show he does on his own, the commercials, you know, he's supposed to be doing that alone. That's just a sniffer dog that's run onto set and refuses to go away. And Elisa Jane Cook, well, I don't think she's fooling anybody with that pregnancy routine. That's just a big bag of dope gaffer taped to her stomach. And as for Rex Hunt, well, I was there the other day while he was being paid.
Yeah, and what was that like, Mickey?
Tone, have you seen the closing scene from Scarface?
This is Martin Malloy, where Pete, tell us what it's time for.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
And today's challenge, because Max Walker is on his way in here in about 20 minutes, he's probably listening right now. On you, Maxie. Can't wait to see the board game, son.
He's running in. Yeah. He's like his old run-up.
He's about 10 km away. He's shining up the ball. Right. He's about to run in. He'll charge through those doors in about 20 minutes.
Oh, I just hope we get to see that in all its glory. But before then, we want to hear a bit of a Max Walker impression from you folks. We want you to call us up and do a bit of Max. It's one of the easier ones to do. And we will accept female versions. We'll accept your Maxine Walker.
Mm. You're basically just telling a story. You don't know when to stop. It just keeps going.
It can be a bit of that. It can be a bit of Max-style anecdote work.
Mm.
Or it can be, you know, something out of context. You can sing a bit of a song. You know,
Maxi.
Yeah, you might want to do Search for the Hero Within Yourself as Max Walker, or just a line from a film, you know, a bit of, geez, I tell you what, I love the smell of napalm in the morning. You might want to do a bit of that. So if you think you can muster up a reasonable stab at a Max, you know, we're not expecting greatness.
No.
We just want to see you having a bash.
Mm.
And the three-pack of CDs, you'll be pleased to know, wasn't damaged in that Holy Grail incident earlier in the show. And $200.
Mate, I tell you what, I remember back in 73, the first time I saw a pack of three-pack of CDs.
Three-pack. Yeah. I had that three-pack in my hand as I came steaming in from the Randwick Inn.
I was in the subcontinent. I had the big red cherry, and all I could think about was the three-pack of CDs.
I tell you what.
But I'm sure our listeners can do this kind of thing. So call us now, 1-800-657-657. We've got Radio Gladiators underway today because Maxi Walker's coming in the next hour. We want to hear your Maxi Walker impressions. Who have you got for us?
We've got Thomas. G'day, Thomas.
G'day, mate.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
All right. Yeah, not too bad. I'm going to be better after I've heard your Maxi, though. Let it rip.
Well, what a week it's been in space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new forms of life, a new civilization, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Yes, I'd like to see Maxi on your Star Trek. You
absolutely.
Know, Star Trek 7 or Star Trek 8, in case the net people are listening. Star Trek 8. How to kiss a crocodile.
I think it could work.
Yeah.
That was a good Maxi. Bit of John Howard in there too, I thought. Not bad, thanks, Thomas.
Have we got Tina there? Tina?
Yep.
You're going to attempt a female version of Max. Let's hear it.
Okay. Girls just want to have fun. Oh, girls just want to have fun.
Of course, right. This is when Max, you know, went...
Was on the D-gen.
Went and did a bit of work on the orange suit, if I remember.
The orange suit and the big glasses.
Yeah, well, that definitely was Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I'm not sure if it was really even a female version of Max, so we might have to move on. Tina, have we got Joshua there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Joshua, give us a bit of Max Walker.
Okay. Whether you've been beaten, bruised or hit, while you're a girl or boy, all you should do is stand or sit and tune into Martin Malloy. They'll make you laugh, they'll make you cry. They're like a children's toy. All you should do is listen to that great dad, Martin Malloy. With Tony Martin and Mick Malloy. That great dad, Martin Malloy. Top song, what do you reckon, fellas?
Oh, Joshua, that's one of the best bits of sucking up I've ever heard on this segment. It didn't sound anything... Well, that sounded a bit like Max there.
Joshua, you'd do anything for that three-pack of CDs, wouldn't you?
Oh, just about anything.
Okay, well, you hang on the line because we might have a songwriting gig for you, even if you don't come out on top. And let's move on to, I think, Nikki might be next. Nikki, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're going to do a bit of Maxine Walker for us?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
My name is Maxi Walker. I'm told I'm a real good talker. As I come and take the cricket, I know you'll really dig it. Go!
I see. This is fast turning into witty ditty.
It's taken on a kind of karaoke feel today, hasn't it, Gladiators? Yeah,
look, I'm desperate for a bit of the real Maxi Walker. Andrew, are you with us?
Yes.
Andrew, you're our last chance to hear a bit of Max magic. Go for it, son.
Yes, well, I'm going to release a new album. Hope to make it into the three-pack. Guns in the sky. Guns in the sky. Did it? Guns in the sky. Did it?
Well,
guns in the sky.
Yeah, that's not
guns
bad. But Mick, who is our winner?
I think we've got to go right back up to the top.
Yeah.
We're talking Klingons. We're talking Klingons with big moustaches and big red cherries in their hand, going into battle on the space frontier. Thomas, are you there?
Thanks very much, dear Mick. Yeah, thanks. It's a great show. It's a great pleasure to be on your show today.
OK, I think we get the idea. Thomas, you've got the three-pack of CDs.
The three-pack?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't believe it.
You can't believe it, can you? You've got to pinch yourself.
Do you know, I've always wanted to say, I've never ever won anything on the radio, and now I can.
Well, you've dived in at the deep end and snaffled yourself. Not one, not two, but three CDs, and buddy, they're in a pack.
Jeez.
And we throw it in $200 as well. And Max Fever is spreading here in the studio. Thanks for playing today, Andrew. But we'll be joined in the next hour, people. Stick around. We'll be joined by the real Max Walker himself. Here at Martin Molloy with Foot Radio Gladiators behind us, and the man who's about to step into the big chair, he's very graciously agreed not to do a Yui after hearing Gladiators today. He's made good doing on his commitment, and he's come in today. He's, well, what can you say about him? He's a renaissance man. That's what he is. And despite, you know, doing everything, he's managed to find some time to bang out a board game called Take It to the Max just in time for Father's Day. Make him welcome. It's Max Walker. Max, thanks for coming in today.
Absolutely sensational.
Now, we must apologise for those impersonations of you before. You know our listeners haven't got anything better to do with their time.
It seems to me there's so many people, housewives included, around the country. That all they seem to do is take the mickey out of the whole world. Thanks to Billy Birmingham. I love you, Billy.
Now, does he send you payments? Do you get some kind of royalty every time he does you?
No, that's the only thing missing. We always get a letter from him and a platinum record saying, gee, the tapes go well. We've sold 200,000 in the last 8 weeks. So good on you, Billy. Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Max, let's get down to where would you describe yourself? What would you put on your tax return? Is it author? Is it footballer, cricketer, commentator? What's your primary thing?
Well, my primary thing, I suppose I am a very, very ex-fast bowler.
Mm-hmm.
And I perhaps use that term loosely too. Medium pacer, all-rounder, I mean, that sort of lot. It's hard, I suppose, in a way. It's a sort of a communicator.
Mm-hmm.
But TV host, I guess, goes on the top because, yeah, they've got first call on the time.
Fair enough. When you were playing cricket, did it used to niggle at you? Like, did you want to be known as a fast bowler or are you happy with medium fast? I mean, because it's kind of a pecking order thing, isn't it?
Well, there's a stigma being slow.
Mm.
I mean, there is a stigma, I think. And not really. I always thought that I'd be an architect first and a cricketer second. And and whilst ever there was a rum and coke or a drink coming over the boundary line of Bay 13, particularly from a girl in a bikini, then I was in love. I mean, no worries.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Tangles. Tell us about Tangles. Were you happy with that as a nickname? I mean, most sportsmen have kind of got the... Yeah, you're a shark or you're something like that. But
yeah,
I know, look out, here comes Tangles.
Well, there's a few of our lads in our team that have got some shockers and through fairly devious means, but but I didn't get Tangles from extracurricular activity. I mean, it's right arm over left ear roll with the legs crossed at the point of delivery. Looks bad, feels good.
It was all happening at the one time, yeah, wasn't it? And when did you have to make the decision between, like, footy and cricket? Because you were pretty... You played for Melbourne?
The Demons are in no danger of playing in a grand final. There just weren't 17 other blokes good enough to get me into a grand final.
Right.
Well, that's my story. But, yeah, I had 94 games if you include the night games.
And were you a bit of a character? Were you like a Mark Jacko Jackson? Were you spinning balls on your head? Were you putting firecrackers in your mate's pockets in the change room?
No, I was fairly quiet, shy and unassuming. I mean, it was a big bit of water to get across Bass Strait. To have actually got a game for the mighty Demons was magnificent. 46 was great the first year, but then they gave me number one in the second year. You had to get 20 kicks before you were noticed on the ground.
Absolutely.
Now, Max, as you probably spotted, I don't know anything about sport.
But, no, just intuitive.
But there's one thing I have noticed, particularly about Australian sportsmen. Every couple of weeks you turn on the news and there's footage of a bloke jumping into a bathtub full of baked beans, running out into the MCG in a ballet tutu, running up Hindley Mall in Adelaide with a stack of pancakes on the head because because they've lost some kind of bet. It's an Australian tradition. Have you ever had to do anything like that yourself?
No, I was invited onto the Late Show once. And,
that's right.
You might remember that. I've never been able to forget it. The orange suit is just about immortal in my life. Oh, I mean, yeah. I can't get rid of it. Girls just want to have fun, eh? Sydney Lawford. I mean, I just let go of the steering wheel that afternoon. It was just
certainly
sensational.
Did.
You were in good company. That's all I can say about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. You weren't the Lone Ranger, Maxie.
Not on my own at all.
Now, you've also been at work in the back shed on a board game, and we want to talk about that in just a moment on Martin Malloy.
Martin Malloy.
And Max Walker's with us on the panel. Max, you mentioned earlier in passing that you could have been an architect. Have you got some architecture skills? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I mean, I've actually done a church down in Hastings. I mean, the city morgue was a tough one. I mean, that was an exercise in traffic patterns. Never actually got built. The dead bodies in the live. I mean, it was... But I enjoyed architecture, and I think probably the education that architecture gave me is a pretty good base for what I do today.
Sure, but architects don't often get a Mexican wave, do they?
They don't? No, I love that. Can I use that somewhere?
Yeah, just drop it
yes?
in. I don't think this is going to air. We've been assured this program will be broadcast when it's ready. That's what the station manager tells us. Now, Max, tell us about this board game. What have you been up to now?
Well, we started with a blank sheet of paper, and I thought I'd tailor-make a game to myself. It needs to be sort of fairly bent and humorous, mm-hmm. but I thought I'd like to put a few things in that have... Yeah, the things that make you win, things that make you lose, I guess the attitude, all of those things in there that just make up the way we go about life. Simply, if you answer a question today, it will have an effect on your outcome tomorrow. So there's 800 really crazy trivia. Mm-hmm. There's 100 dilemmas in there that will really test you from mm-hmm. right from wrong. And then there's the good, bad and the ugly. That's life, Darren Hinch. you might get, for example, charged with drunken disorderly behaviour in 3 a.m. in the morning. You've not only king hit the marble statue in the foyer, but you've spear tackled in the lot, lose 2 character points. I mean,
so it's based on real life.
Unfortunately, my experience is too in there. I had a lot of fun coming up with 100 dilemmas. For example, can you imagine it's your wedding night, you're a little thirsty, you lean over your spouse and there they are. The false teeth are floating in the jar next to the lamp. What would you do? Now, would you, in fact, consummate the marriage or would you seek annulment the next day? Would you buy a pair of goldfish to keep the chat's company?
Oh, I'm going to need some thinking music, Maxie.
Hey, or would you, thirdly, would you ask were there any other bits and pieces, appendages that aren't exactly au naturel, or go to the dentist, have the entire upper row ripped out and go out in sympathy with your spouse the next day? Now, there's 100 shockers like that.
Oh, Max, yeah. It sounds like a game that Michael Jackson's going to enjoy, certainly. you know, teeth in a jar, organs everywhere.
Oh, let that one go through to the keeper. Thank you very much.
You mentioned trivia. Give us a great bit of Australian trivia that you might not, our listeners might not have heard.
Well, I'm sure they would have heard. Did Stan Appleby cut off a spectator's leg in a 1927 wood chopping tournament? True or false? I mean, you've got a 50% chance here. Have a go.
I'm going to say false.
Exactly. I mean, there's a man. I mean, he couldn't possibly get the spectator. He took off his own foot.
Is that true?
Okay. Now, Maxie, what do I win?
What you win, you get a free night out with me, and just think how lucky it could be Merv Hughes, and you could have a tongue in your ear all night.
Alrighty then.
Get out your diary, Mick Malloy.
I'm going to throw on something pretty.
Max, it sounds like you. What are you up to? This just sounds like, I mean, you've sat down, you've had a blank piece of paper.
And
you've recreated your life in microcosm on this sheet, and it's sounding pretty wacky and pretty mad. Is that what?
I've never been able to put it in, couch it in such magnificent words. Mm. I mean.
Now, where do you go from here? Where do you go from the? Once you've done the board game, surely, I mean, you've done everything there is to do. I mean, is there what's left to achieve? What's left to shoot for?
Well, I don't know. I think I'd be in fair company by saying neither of us have jumped out the back of an aeroplane at around about 5,000 or 6,000 feet. That large sphincter muscle will be going overtime on the way down. I don't think you could use any of it on national television.
You mean there's no possibility of me doing that in your board game?
No, not in a board game. I haven't even come to that dilemma. But
there's not
actually
a card you can get, jump out of plane, lose sphincter. That's it.
Next set of cards. I mean, that's one dilemma. But the little things like that you don't consider with Ludo and snakes and ladders.
Those board games.
Yeah.
masquerading as board games, Maxie, for far too long, and they've been getting away with it. Well, not anymore, because there's a new kid on the block.
Yeah, take it to the max.
Okay, Max, all the best with the board game.
Now I feel pumped up, actually, after coming in here. And I don't know what it feels like out there, but I tell you what, I get the old Australia windscreen wiper across the forehead and flick it off.
Well, thanks for talking to us today, Max Walker.
Boys, you're legends.
And we'll be back with more in a moment on Martin Molloy. This is Martin Molloy, and time now for part two of our weekly roundup of Michael Jackson News Freak Watch. And the Freak Watch files are just bulging this week. Listen to this story. Superstar Michael Jackson is so desperate to look like Elvis Presley, he is prepared to go back under the surgeon's scalpel. According to this story, the star would do almost anything to make Lisa Marie Presley happy. Here's an idea, Michael. Have you thought of sleeping with her? Oh, it's a crazy idea. But it just might be the thing, you know, I mean, it just seems like a bit of a leap to me to go straight to the Elvis surgery option. I don't know. Call me crazy. Said a source, Lisa would like nothing better than for Michael to be a carbon copy of Elvis. What, she wants him dead, is that it? Is that reading between the lines? She knows Michael is a master of changing his face through surgery, but a top Beverly Hills plastic surgeon says Jackson would require at least four more operations to look like Presley. Now, I'm sorry, is this what Jacko's been up to over the years with all the face work? Mm. Is it?
Mm.
You know, he's slowly transforming himself into the king. Is that his plan? Is that his wily scheme? Is that what the wig's about? Is that what the colour change is about? Calling himself the king of pop? Is that what it's all starting to make sense, isn't it? Neverland, Graceland, marrying the daughter, he gets his hands on the song catalogue, you see? What about the four ops? I'm looking at that part again. I'm sorry.
Just the four, is it?
I went over that bit a bit quickly, didn't I? What exactly are the four ops that turn you into Elvis? Buttock implants, that'd have to be one. Yep. Letting your pants out, they'd have to do that. That'd be a big job. But Mick, what do you think? Is that Elvis to the max bloke going to be out of a gig once Jacko takes off the final set of bandages?
Tone, I've got a different theory. Go with it. I think Michael Jackson is actually Elvis Presley.
You think so?
No, well, think about it, right? Think about it. Michael Jackson could be the king because the king disappears as a big, fat, white guy who enjoys the company of bae. Stuff like, right?
Right.
So he's going to want to throw people off the scent. He says, I know, I'll become a weedy little black guy who prefers the company of small boys and goes, he's pulled it off brilliantly. Sure, he may have gone a bit fast sleeping with his own daughter, but you've got to hand it to him.
Now, what did Elvis used to say again, Mick?
Elvis,
Very nice.
You want Michael Jackson?
No, I think we've heard enough. We've heard the repertoire. But listen to this. This is just one more quick bit of Michael Jackson news just to clean up the Freak Watch file for another week. Superstar singer Michael Jackson is set to play a warrior in the next Star Trek film. This is true. After producers agreed to his request for a role.
I don't know what's funnier. Michael Jackson playing a warrior. Michael Jackson in Star Trek. A warrior in Star Trek has got me buggered. Yeah. No one will buy it, Tone. No one's going to buy that. Sure, they'll go with the Klingons. They'll go with the Romulans. No one questions that Mr. Worf with a big paper mache head. But, Tone, I know it's the final frontier. But no one, for a minute, not even your hardcore Trekkies, are going to believe there's a planet somewhere in the known universe populated by a race of freaks who look like that.
Well, that's all we've got time for here at the Martin Molloy desk today. Thanks to our guests, Max Walker, and all our stunt maxes on Radio Gladiators. Tomorrow we'll be joined by the edgy loner of Australian comedy, Darren Casey. That is, if he's not, you know, so edgy that he's just not going to bother to come in at all.
Tune in. It'll be a mystery.
Remember last time we tried to get him on?
Duh. What do we have? A list of excuses as long as your arm. I think he was out of town, wasn't he? He was on parole.
No, I think in the end it was just, sorry, I'm too edgy to show up.
That was it.
Right. It's just edginess, basically.
And we'll leave you tonight, people, with one of today's gladiators performing his new theme song for the show. Take it away, Joshua.
Whether you've been beaten, bruised or hit, while you're a girl or boy, all you should do is stand or sit and tune into Martin Malloy. They'll make you laugh, they'll make you cry. They're like a children's toy. All you should do is listen to that great dad, Martin Malloy. With Tony Martin and Mick Malloy. That great dad, Martin Malloy. Top song, what do you reckon, fellas?
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.